Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday afternoon. We have made it. Congratulations. Cell 5-5s all the way around. For those of us who are Republican Party delegates, today is the day to try and figure out what we're going to do tomorrow. I'm telling you, it is such a bizarre process, and there's math involved, which frankly, I don't like. But we got to figure out who we as Republicans here in Virginia are going to pick to take back the governor's office. And this week I have brought on the folks that I believe comprise the top tier. We had Glenn Youngkin, Amanda Chase, Pete Snyder, and today we'll wrap up with former Speaker of the House of Delegates, current state delegate out of Colonial Heights, Kirk Cox. Kirk, I appreciate you being here.
Jeff, you're always great. I love your math piece. Now, don't forget, now, if we end advanced math, no one will be able to figure out tomorrow at all. So that's another good reason not to do away with advanced math.
Well, all right. I'm going to go along with you on that, but please, let's not do another one of these conventions like this either. My gosh.
Yeah, it's been tough.
Yeah. Tell me what it's been like as a candidate. Look, I know how frustrated I am, and all I have to do is pick a couple of people. You're running to win this thing. This has just been like banging your head against the wall, I think.
Yeah, it hasn't been an ideal process, but I'll say this, and you know, you've been nice enough to have me several times. I said from the beginning that I would run whether it was a primary or a convention. It has improved. I will say that we've gotten to about 40 sites and we're going to have a hand count, which is good. And so I'm going to do the positive piece and say, at least at the end, we've ended up in a better place, but we have to work on the process. It's got to be more inclusive. It's got to be better.
Yeah. Well, I have to remind people, you're talking about winding up on the positive side. You actually issued a call last week that said, when this is all over, somehow, some way, we've all got to come together and work together to defeat the Democrats in November. Have you heard from the other candidates in relation to that?
No, not many of them. But I'll say this, you know, there's been a lot of people. I do a lot of personal phone calls to delegates, and I always open up with saying, this is Kirk Cox. Yeah, it's really Kirk Cox. I know you're tired of all the negative stuff. I just like to see what you're thinking. And, you know, and I try to tell them, you know, what Kirk Cox is about. And that's been the biggest problem is, I think, with all the negative mail, and sometimes, Jeff, you know, 5-6 pieces a day, mm-hmm. if not 10, it just turns people off. They want to know exactly what you've done. And, of course, I would say in the House of Delegates and a speaker, hopefully a lot. And they want to know how you're going to beat the Democrats. And I would always say bluest Republican district in the state and was able to win it by 4 points. And that's what they want to know. And you said it so well on your show. We got to focus on the Democrats. We've seen our state become California. I love Virginia with all my heart. And we've got to win as Republicans. So I think that's the main message is let's unite tomorrow. let's go forth and let's end this one-party Democratic control.
You know, you talked about what you had accomplished, and while you talk about it in a very positive way, it's also one of those things that if you're the nominee, you've got to defend what, 30 years worth of votes? Is that going to be damaging to your campaign?
You know, I don't, because for example, you know, you have a heart like I do for law enforcement. I've been the state police legislator of the year. I've put 100 veterans bills in and been privileged, whether it be VFW, American Legion, Purple Heart Association, retired officers. I've been their legislator of the year. That's just not voting record. And so I feel like on a whole host of issues, and Jeff, a little, some different issues. You know, I've hit a real heart for intellectually disabled and DD waivers and trying to get that waiting list down and working on same day access for mental health. You know, even as far as farmers who, when I chaired the ACNR committee, you know, we Republicans never get credit for this. We did about $500 million in direct point source cleanup to really help the base. I think for a Republican being able to do some issues that are both core issues and issues that, you know, touches everyone, whether it be cancer research, et cetera, I think that's a really good thing. People are looking for that. So I like having the record that I have. I think it's very important to sort of been the man in the arena.
Okay. Well, Kirk Cox is joining us, formerly the Speaker of the House of Delegates. And you mentioned the waivers. This is something, if you're not involved in the system, number one, I'm thrilled that you don't have to be. But for those of us who are parents of disabled kids or caretakers for special needs people, Kirk, I got to tell you something. This waiver system is an abomination.
Jeff, you're right. The waiting list is over 10,000. Yeah. And as you know, I mean, here's what's so key about the waiver. For people that don't know, it gives families who love so much, you know, and a lot of times they're aging out of the system. So in other words, they're 60, 70, and it's very hard to care for someone that has multiple disabilities at home.
Yeah.
But one of the things I have done in the House of Delegates is I've always been the leading person who's put in additional waiver slots and also really worked on trying to reform it. But to your point, we can do much, much better. But if you're going to do much better, you really need to understand how that system works, how to redesign the waiver effectively, how to get that waiting list down. And why that means so much is that you have people sacrificing to keep their loved ones at home. And giving them that respite care, those accommodations is absolutely key. So that is something that I've been the ARC legislator of the year, got some of the ARC awards. So you'll see me work very hard on issues like that.
Well, they're vital. They really are. And again, it's, I don't want to say it's a niche issue, but I suppose it is. You know, if you're not involved in the system, you hear, oh, gosh, people are waiting 10 years. And that's the reality. People are waiting 10 years. And if you're not involved, I guess it just sort of rolls off your back. Let me ask you about the Medicaid expansion, because this is the other thing that we've heard about, right? Kirk Cox is a bad guy because Medicaid expansion. So I want to give you the opportunity. It's a big issue. Can you explain what that was about and why you voted the way you voted?
Yeah, remember, I was speaker at the time, Jeff. So we were at 51-49. I remind people. I always tell people if I get credit for Medicaid expansion, we also cut taxes by over $1 billion when I was speaker. That's the largest, second largest tax cut in Virginia history. Remember, we shut down the special session. Mm-hmm. Governor McAuliffe did on the Second Amendment, and I personally blocked those Second Amendment bills. We were the number one state to do business. Sure, Medicaid expansion was simple. We're at 51-49. We had about 15, especially Southside and Southwest delegates who wanted some kind of Medicaid expansion because it's for the working poor. We didn't have the votes. And so clearly I had two choices. You could have gotten straight Medicaid expansion. And what that means is no work requirements, just like George Allen put in for welfare reform. And no kill switch. And Medicaid expansion is a 90-10 federal state program. And so one of the big fears is the federal government, the way they're going into debt, will renege on their 90%. So the two things I put in there were work requirements and a kill switch. And the kill switch is still in there. This is exactly the Mike Pence model in Indiana. And so tough decisions when you're speaker. And once again, when you're the man in the arena, you know, it's easy to sit on the outside and say, I'd have done X, Y, and Z. But you would have had straight Medicaid expansion. I mean, under Northern, there's no question about that. So I thought that was the thing to do, and that's what I did.
Tell me also about your plans for the Virginia Parole Board. This, not that it's my place to give advice, but what the heck? I live in the community. I am a taxpayer, and I look at this parole board that is a result of Terry McAuliffe and Ralph Northam, and the idea that you're releasing cop killers, rapists, the worst possible excuses for decent society, and you're putting them out there, and you don't care. If I'm running for governor and I'm the Republican, man, that's got to be number one, number two on my list of things to address.
Yeah, I made it one of my number one issues, Jeff. You know that. I'm going to really emphasize this. Governors in Virginia have over 200 boards and commissions they appoint. One is the parole board. Terry McAuliffe was the one that fired the head of the parole board for Bob McDonald with the admonition, you need to speed up parole. And to your point, we had 8 or 9 vicious murderers who've been let out. As you know, you're supposed to directly notify witnesses and victims' families. That was not done. Now we find out, Jeff, that the only people that are going to be investigated is the Office of Inspector General, who, as you know, basically was very critical of the Northern administration. And now we find out that that investigation, which is not even going to be of the parole board, is by a firm, Nixon Peabody, which is given 89% to Democrats. So guess what you're going to get as far as a whitewash on that parole board? And it's not only the parole board, Jeff. It is, as you know, the Board of Education, your state superintendent. Every one of your Board of Visitors for higher education. So whether we talk about critical race theory, a lot of the standards that would be watered down terribly. Governors, if they know what they're doing, and I'm going to really hit that point, you got 1 4-year term. You don't have forever to learn what you're doing. And once again, my opponents, I respect. But when you come in from totally the outside, you would never hire in a business as your number two guy someone who has no idea how your business works. And so I want to affect change quickly. Not only do I know who to appoint, I know basically how to put coalitions together. And you better understand how the bureaucracy works. You better understand how to really affect change. And you can only do that to me if you've been someone who's really understands a lot, like Kirk Cox.
So, Kirk, again, we're back to the math here. You get the opportunity to vote essentially 7 times, 1 through 7, if we're talking about the candidates seeking the Republican nomination for governor. Everybody says, hey, vote for me, number one. Do you have a plan? Are people who are supporting you supposed to circle you 1, 2, 3, 4 through 7? How does it all work for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've said with people, obviously, if you're for me, circle me is number one. I have also, and, you know, the Republican Standard has done a recent poll, 2 recent polls. I've been up in both of them. So I feel comfortable where I am with number one. But once again, Jeff, the math is simple. We're 7 candidates. No one's going to get a majority on the first ballot. That just mathematically is not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I've made a direct appeal to folks to be number two. As I talk to you, I mean, I've talked to so many delegates. I was in Virginia Beach the other night. And the lady said, man, I love your speech on education. I love you're a teacher. You're the person, perfect person. Take on McAuliffe. Bad news, I've already committed to this guy, another candidate. And, you know, I'll think about it, but I'm not sure integrity-wise I can switch. And I said, well, make me your number two. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, I've basically said for people like that, you know, I very much want to be their number two. So I think the person who wins this is going to be the one that basically has not only strong number one going in, but that's some broad base on number two.
Fair enough. So for folks who are thinking, well, all right, let me see if I can make Kirk Cox number one or number two, or maybe number one and number two, they should probably go to your website, get some more information. You want to give everybody that address?
Yeah, let me do 2 things if I can. It's I also have a final Bring Virginia Home rally tonight at 7:30 at the Highlands in Chesterfield. So if you'd like to just see me directly, come out to the Highlands at 7:30 and ask me whatever question you've got. But you can go to KirkCox.com to get any information on Kirk Cox, and you can go to KirkCox.com/vote to find your voting location or anything like that. And I know people are still trying to search for that. So I appreciate that opportunity very much, Jeff.
All right. Well, Kirk, I appreciate you being here, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon. That is former Speaker of the House, Kirk Cox, and certainly would like to be your number one, but he also is making a direct appeal to be your number two, if that's the slot that's open. It's going to be interesting, to be sure, and it's going to be a long process. I don't know if you were listening this morning to my friend John Reed. John had Rich Anderson, the chair of the Republican Party of Virginia. And I guess they've got the counting room for what, the next 5-6 days? So this is not going to be one of those times where we know at the end of the day who won. It's going to be a few days out. So it's time to buckle up, I guess. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA.